For the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the fact that the world is not neutral, that the different cultures of different parts of the world, some of those things are just part of how people do things, but a lot of culture has been organized by Satan, called the cosmos, the organization of Satan to blind people and to deceive people when it comes to the Lord and to spiritual truth and to knowing Him. And so for us as believers, we've got to realize that there are aspects of culture, of course, that are neutral, that are part of just living in any particular place, but that much of culture is the world, as the Bible speaks of. And we started out in the little book of Titus. We looked at chapter 1, where we saw the Cretan culture, and it was clearly identified as not biblical. And I guess that's a nice way to say it. Very striking terms are used about it. And then in chapter 2, it begins, "And speak those things which become sound doctrine." And then you have some of the most glorious teaching for young men, older ladies, young ladies, and servants, and so forth. But then the end of it, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us," or child training us, giving us the ability to understand, giving us the strength that we need, the discipline that we need to say no to, the word there is denying, to say no to ungodliness and worldly lusts. And so we can live soberly, think right, righteously, living out the truth of God's word and godly in a way that shows His reality in this present world. So is grace a glorious thing? Absolutely. We can live in victory, and it is vitally important. Now, I say all of that because the theme we're going to look at tonight from the book of Proverbs deals with a subject that hinders greatly God's grace, which is vital for us to have victory, to be able to say no to this world and yes to Christ, and have the discernment and the power and the strength to be what we ought to be. And the subject we want to talk about is found in a couple of passages in the New Testament. God gives grace to the humble, but He resists the proud. Pride, dealt with quite a bit. Remember last week we looked at the wrong kind of thinking. Your wrong thinking, which Satan is a master at causing us to have, if we allow wrong thoughts to come in, if we meditate on wrong thoughts, that becomes who we are, changes how we live, changes our perspective and our thought process, and we become different people if we do not get back on biblical thinking. And we talked about the many different ways that Satan has tools today in this present world to get us off of solid, biblical, right thinking. And another tool of his that causes us to think improperly is this matter of pride. So go ahead and turn over to the book of Proverbs. If you want to try to keep up with me, you certainly can. If you want to mark some of these passages, I will note each one, but we will be rapid fire like we did last week as we look at the subject of pride from the book of Proverbs. Now remember, God resisteth the proud. And by the way, being resisted by God's not a very good thought. But He gives grace, and that's what enables us to be able to think right and to operate within this world system and be free of it. It's God's power invested in us. It's a glorious thing, but God gives grace to the humble, the opposite of pride. And we will look at humility later. So quickly here tonight, I want us to see, first and foremost, this is obvious. It goes back to the heart of the fall of man, but pride is sin. Proverbs 21:4, "An high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin." Straightforward teaching. Now, folks, We live in a culture today that's all about trying to get people to think well of us. And we have many different ways that occurs, many different ways that we attempt to achieve that. Today, though, there is with the social media and all the connectedness, there is an immediate way that you can try to project an image that causes people to think well of you, and that image probably does not match who you really are. And so with the whole years and decades now of television promoting celebrities, promoting people that are well-known in different areas, this is a deep need of people that do not know the Lord. And so this high look and a proud heart is part of our culture. It's interesting, the plowing of the wicked. The whole idea, folks, of working hard to advance ourselves outside of the will of God, but for personal reasons, is sin. You see, anything that focuses on self, anything that advances self, is the opposite of God's heart and God's way. It's a very serious matter. And folks, what we have today in churches across America, in evangelicalism, is folks that believe the Bible, they truly have been saved, but they're living with the secular mindset of self-promotion and endeavoring to have the American dream and the comfortable life and yet still give God some service in their life. And what they're doing is mixing some aspects of serving God with what God says is sin. And so we have to realize that self-centeredness is a horrible problem, and without the grace of God, without us being open and broken and submitted to the will of God, we are in deep trouble, and we are going to be resisted by God. Pride incurs God's wrath. Proverbs 16:5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to God. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Proverbs 6:16, we read this last week with another aspect here. These six things doth the Lord hate, yet seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. The fear of the Lord, that's chapter 8, verse 13, is to hate evil. In other words, if you fear God, if you're a person that has the heart of God, you're going to hate what God hates, and then it's listed: pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Now, folks, that's reiterated in the New Testament. God resisteth. God is against. God will oppose those who are proud. And my friends, we got to be very careful to be honest with ourselves. Are we accomplishing our will, or are we broken and totally submitted to the perfect will of God? If we are not, and we are satisfying ourselves, no matter how many good things we may seem to be doing, God hates it. You know, I'd hate to, as a believer, to spend a big part of my life and find out God hated every minute of it. But I'm afraid, when you look at how the church in America has failed, I think we're going to be shocked at the judgment seat of Christ. Proverbs really does just cut right to the chase. Now, we see how God views it. It's sin, and obviously incurs God's wrath, and we could spend much time on that. But the reason he hates it is because what it produces in people. It causes us to turn away from him. Chapter 30, verse 8. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. And so when we are living for self, then we will be turning away from the Lord. Foolish speech. Oh, I'm telling you, folks, on the airwaves is a lot of the speech of a fool. And foolish actions. Now, folks, I'm telling you, it's grievous on all levels of politics today. It's hard to listen to it. because Proverbs is exposing what we have known for a long time, that a lot of the political journey is not the old public servant concept, but is a real march toward self-aggrandizement. And God hates that. Foolish speech, foolish actions. Chapter 14, verse 3, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Chapter 28, verse 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. A fool is one who walks in a way that is opposite of how God would walk. He that is of a proud heart, chapter 28, verse 25, stirreth up strife. I tell you, behind any problem, in any relationship, behind any kinds of issues, there is always this sin of pride, the focus on self, endeavoring, whether it comes out of insecurity or whatever reason, it causes there to be a focus on self instead of a servant's heart toward the Lord, and it stirreth up strife. But he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Chapter 13, verse 10, and this is a verse most of us know, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Now, folks, any time there is contention that you may be involved in, you need to step back and say, Lord, would you expose the pride in my life? You know, the old saying, takes two to tangle. Well, it's really true. And I tell you what, there needs to be brokenness. If God's going to work, if God's going to work in any kind of relationship, in any kind of situation, pride has to be brutally dealt with. And that's why we talked about that at the conference, brokenness. There can be no advance without brokenness. And then, of course, pride that is not dealt with will cause rebellion. It will show itself in arrogance. Chapter 21, verse 24, proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. Chapter 30, verse 11, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. Oh, when there is pride, there then comes that kickback to authority. There comes that disrespect to leadership, especially parental leadership for those that are younger. And folks, the heart is pride. Again, whatever the motivation, whether it's deep insecurity or whether it's other desires that come out of the flesh, it's what brought down the human race, and it's continuing to bring down the human race. And folks, this entire my rights movements of our day and all of that so often is a kickback to the authority, especially of parents and those in legitimate leadership. And another reason God hates pride is because it not only causes those problems, but it brings disgrace. It brings ruin. Oh, the embarrassment and shame. Well, your pride will be found out. You will not always. And by the way, I hate to tell you, if you really are not walking in the Spirit and you're not broken and you're not a true servant and you're self-willed and you're not in the will of God, you may think you're fooling people, but you're not. Anybody with a lick of discernment can say, oh, there's something not right here. Chapter 29, verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Folks, let me just go over, you don't need to turn there, but to 1 Peter. It is so instructive along this line, speaking of the right attitude in chapter 5, where it says, he says in verse 5, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Do not lift yourself up. Do not promote yourself. Be a servant. Be humble and broken for God, and let God do it. And when God does, it's a wonderful thing. People are fine with others being lifted up if they see God's all over it. But when man's in it, oh, it is not. It brings shame. Another verse that we're familiar with, chapter 11, verse 2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. And of course, without grace, there's going to be tragic defeat. There's going to be destruction in a person's life. Chapter 16, verse 18, pride goeth poor destruction. My friend, if we do things without the power of God, if we are not allowing God to keep us because we're his servants in his perfect will, if it's about us, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. God's gracious to let us learn. Chapter 18, verse 12, before destruction the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Chapter 26, verse 12, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Chapter 17, verse 19, he loveth transgression that loveth strife, and he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. Been in the ministry a long time. I've seen a lot of people fall into this trap. And I've lived long enough to see their fall. Folks, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth shall he also reap. So often teens allow their insecurities to cause them to have pride and to resist their parents, and they think they got it all. And later they'll come and tell you, oh, I lost precious years. I've made horrible decisions. I've seen people make decisions that were not led by the Spirit. And, it's for self reasons, to be materialistic, to be whatever. And I tell you what, this is one that you don't want to be proven right. You don't want to be proven right, but you will be. Chapter 15, verse 25. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. A picture of true humble state back in the ancient days. Well, let me just quickly now just to urge you, folks, pride, if God hates it, if it's an abomination, if it keeps us from the grace of God, if it puts us in a place of vulnerability, then we need to every day, every morning when you're praying, that ought to be one of the things that you deal the most with in your life. Self-centeredness and pride. You ought to abhor it. And without God's grace, you cannot conquer it. But by God's grace, you can conquer it. For Christ in us, the hope of glory, he is the one who humbled himself and became a servant. And my friends, when we yield to him, he will cause us to be humbled, and he will cause us to be broken, and he will cause us to be a servant. And we need to not even be afraid of whatever it takes, because there's no other way to live but be broken and to be humble. So first of all, you got to just be honest about yourself. You're a sinner saved by grace. Quit trying to prove anything. Prove him, not you. Chapter 3, verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. This is a quote that is quoted in James, but it's found here in chapter 27, verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We are not in control. He is in control. And so we need to not have a focus on ourselves. And of course, one of the great principles you'll find in Proverbs is don't praise yourself. Don't talk about yourself. Don't promote yourself. And I want to say, folks, social media is all about that. It's all about presenting a good image of yourself. And I think many, many believers are just locked into a problem. Because how are you going to compare with everybody else that's presenting a good image? Because down deep you know it's not true. Proverbs 27:2, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth. Chapter 12, verse 9, he that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. Note this verse, verse 20, or chapter 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who will find. So don't, and not only don't praise yourself, don't seek praise. It is not good, chapter 25, verse 27, to eat much honey, so for men to search their own glory is not glory. In other words, if you eat too much honey, you'll get what? Sick. If you search for your own glory, you're going to get sick. And folks, don't believe it when people are nice to you. There's usually something behind it. No, when they're spirit-filled, that's a wonderful thing. We need to edify one another. But you know what I'm saying. Flattery is a very dangerous thing to take seriously. I tell young preachers, be very careful. When a lady comes up and says, that's the best message I've ever heard. She's just being nice to you. So, all right, may have been, but don't become proud when commended. Chapter 27, verse 21, is the finding pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. And simply, what's the answer? Repent. Call it what God calls it. Deal with it. Chapter 30, verse 32, if thou hast done foolish in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth and get it right. Now, folks, tonight, in just a few minutes, we're going to remember what Christ, who humbled himself, did for us. Now, let me say, does Christ have a reason to be proud? The answer is yes. He does deserve to receive glory, does he not? Does not Christ have the right to do whatever he wants? But my friend, when it comes to us, he humbled himself and became a servant and had no self-will, but absolutely selfish love to meet our needs, and he continues to do so as our high priest. When we are proud and self-willed and doing what we want, we are on the polar opposite from Christ, who became a servant for us. You'll never know Christ. You'll never know the love of Christ. You'll never know the reality of Christ until you're willing to say, I'm self-willed, I'm self-centered, I'm maybe out of insecurity, it may be because you've had these ambitions, but whatever reason, you've got to deal with it, because to be like Christ is the most important thing that there is. And folks, let me just say, every person in this room today struggled with pride sometime through the day. It is part of our awful fleshly nature. Deal with it, be brutal about it, ask God to overcome it. Get your eyes off of yourself. Get your eyes on the Lord. By the way, you'll be a lot happier. You get depressed when your eyes are on yourself. You can never measure up. It never works out. People that are famous are the most insecure, and they die of overdoses all the time. No, the freedom comes when you look to Jesus. Get your eyes off yourself. Folks, we can't prove anything, but what a great God we have. Everything we have is God's. So give him the glory. Quit trying to be something. Let him be something. That's why you got to be in his will. You're not going to prove anything. You're not going to get anywhere with what you're doing. It's got to be God doing it step by step and empowering you and making himself glorious through your life. Oh, if we could only get a hold of this simple principle, folks, it'd be transforming. We live spirit-filled lives. Pride stops us from grace. Let's bow for prayer. So we prepare for the table of the Lord here tonight. This is a good thing for us to deal with so that we can truly appreciate what Christ has done for us. And as we bow before the Lord here tonight, as a believer, you serve a Savior that humbled himself for you, left heaven and became one of us. And friends, you know, sometimes pride just keeps us from getting right. How many times have you actually had God deal with you in a service, but you were too proud to be honest? How many times has God shown you what to do, but you didn't want to admit some of the things you'd have to admit to get that settled? How many times have we tried to feel like a good Christian, but have missed it because God's saying, I want you to get on your face and realize there's a whole lot of self in your life. And folks, this has got to be dealt with every day, every hour. Now, there are key decisions that give us great freedom, but this has to be something that we think right about, that we live right. We don't get involved in wrong things. We don't get involved in thinking like the world thinks, but we're truly immersed in our Savior. And so at a time like this, it's hard to get right about pride because we have pride. That's the way it is. We don't want anybody to think that we have pride, so we're not willing to be humble about it. By the way, we all have it, okay? Nobody's going to be surprised if you admit you have pride. We all have problems. And we got to have victory because we got to have grace. We got to be the men and women of God that we ought to be. You say, Pastor, I know exactly what you're saying. So often I just sort of let down a little bit and I get focused on myself. It isn't, you know, I want that, but I just realize I've got to allow God to break me. I've got to live for Him. I've got to live for His glory. I've got to get in His will. I can't be doing this on my own. I can't be out of His will. I can't be doing things independently of Him. I don't know what I'm thinking. I've got to be willing to be honest and humble and stay very open before the Lord and others. And I don't want to have pride in my life. I realize what God thinks about it, and I don't want God to hate that which I'm doing. God has put His finger on some aspects of my life, and I want to admit it. I want to be humble enough to admit it tonight. Would you pray for me? With heads bowed, would you just simply slip up your hand if that God has dealt with you and say, I'm going to humble myself. I find pride comes in, and it is hurting me. God bless you. Many hands. You may put them down. Frankly, all of us could raise the hand. You're here tonight, and you're not certain that you're saved. You know, most people go to hell because they're just too proud to admit they're a sinner. You may be here tonight, and you're religious, and you do a lot of good things. But you're not willing, and you've understood the gospel, maybe, but you just haven't been willing to admit that you need a Savior. If Jesus was willing to humble Himself to save you, can you not be humble enough to allow Him to save you? Every person comes to the Lord on equal ground at the cross. You'd say, Pastor, pray for me. That's me. God struck my heart. I'm not certain I'm saved, and I need to be honest about it. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up? Let me see it. Okay, God bless you. Amen. That's great. I'm glad you're honest about that. Anyone else here tonight? I need to get this settled. Yes. God bless you. All right. Amen. Anyone else tonight? I need to be humble enough to admit I'm just not certain I'm on my way to heaven. Would you pray for me? Anyone else? Lord, would you work in hearts tonight? Lord, this is, we all know this is a key problem. And oh, how it's laid out here in the book of Proverbs. And I do pray that you will work in our hearts, work in my heart, work in all of us. Lord, we've got to be broken before you. And Lord, we want you to be honored and glorified. Self gets in the way. We say things, do things. We don't have the blessing because we're not willing to really come to grips with what you have for us. Oh, Lord, we need your help. We're so thankful that you are the deliverer, not just for our sins for eternity, but you are our deliverer now. And I pray that everyone here will believe that. May they be honest and humble about it. And Lord, you'll give them the grace. Would your will be done in this invitation now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.